From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The Trump administration has left American public health in a state of transition. That's a polite way of saying they've taken a sledgehammer to some long-standing practices and policies. All this comes under the leadership of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. For one thing, as we speak, the Congress is debating a number of measures, including subsidies for Affordable Care Act insurance premiums, which are set to expire at the end of the year. How this plays out could determine if the federal government goes into a shutdown tomorrow. Then there's been the recent push to scale back vaccine recommendations, including for COVID-19, with the government recommending the shots only for people aged 65 and up or with an underlying health condition. And there's President Trump's war on acetaminophen.
Don't take Tylenol. Don't give Tylenol to the baby. After the baby's born, every time the baby gets a shot, the baby goes, gets a shot. They say, here, take a cup of Tylenol. I've heard that for years. Take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't have your baby take Tylenol. Now, Tylenol is fine for people that aren't pregnant, that aren't in the situation that we're talking about, one very specific situation. If you're pregnant, don't take Tylenol. When you have your baby, don't give your baby Tylenol at all, unless it's absolutely necessary. Don't do it.
All right, we're going to dig into that, because all this is leaving us with a lot more questions than answers, and it has people wondering what they should and should not do. Joining us now to talk about how the state of Illinois is responding to all of these changes is Dr. Samir Vohra, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. Dr. Vohra, welcome back to The 21st Show.
Well, Brian, thanks so much for having me.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. What questions do you have about these changes to health policy? We'll be on this topic for the first part of our show today, so don't wait. 800-222-9455. I should say we asked members of our texting group about this. Terry in Batavia said, in part, I'm glad I live in Illinois. The CDC is no longer to be trusted with public health. The states like Illinois who have chosen to defy the CDC's bogus recommendations are on the path of supporting public health. I hope some research can continue. On the other hand, we heard from John in Springfield, who blamed a friend's bad medical experience on COVID vaccines. We'll ask the director about that a little later on. So, Dr. Vohra, let's start with COVID. There have been reports of cases going up again. How is Illinois looking right now?
Well, the good news at the moment is that Illinois still is at a very low level of COVID-19 and the other sort of respiratory illnesses, flu and RSV. We are continuing to monitor that closely. But as we start the fall season, although it doesn't seem that way with the temperatures outside, we know that these rates of COVID, flu, and RSV will begin to increase in the fall and winter respiratory months. And the importance of understanding those risks and getting protected with vaccines in which you're eligible.
Do we have a sense of when there might be a peak for COVID, or is it too early to tell, or have we not yet established that seasonal pattern?
It is a little bit early to tell, but if we would take kind of last year as a barometer, we reached our hospital admission peak right around the first of the year. And at that point, 3% of all of our hospital admissions were COVID-19 related, and that the highest peak of last season. And right now we are under 1% of our admissions in the hospital are COVID-19 related. So that's usually been the course over the last couple of years, but still trying to find, you know, that equilibrium as we continue to move now a couple years past the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
So as I mentioned a few moments ago, the federal government has changed its COVID vaccine guidelines. And again, worth noting, this is under the leadership of anti-vaccine activist RFK Jr. They say fewer people should get the vaccine. What do you think of these changes?
Well, I would say that first and foremost, what we are seeing coming out of the federal government is a push back against the credible, transparent processes, those science-based principles in which we were making these kinds of decisions around the vaccine and the yearly routine and the vaccine processes. And we have seen that through the changes of the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, that the lack of going by this gold standard process has led to a lack of credibility, transparency, and trust in what was deemed to be such a pivotal, important science-based practice. And that's why we here at the Illinois Department of Public Health wanted to move forward in our own pathway, relying on leading experts in the state, many of them leading experts in the country, to provide those recommendations to us. What the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices said is that they left COVID-19 vaccines to individual decision making for all those 6 months and up. What we did at the Illinois Department of Public Health is relied on those experts to provide our own set of recommendations. And those recommendations said that we recommend COVID-19 vaccine to all adults 18 years and older. We recommend COVID-19 vaccines to those individuals, those women that are pregnant, lactating, or postpartum, or right after pregnancy. And for kids, we recommend the vaccine to all kids 6 months to 2 years. For those that are 2 years and above, we recommend it to those with chronic medical conditions, certain risk factors, for those that have never had a COVID-19 vaccine. And we also wanted to say that all parents who think that they want their kids to have a shot should be able to get one.
I noticed that last one. It's this very specific set of guidelines, and then children whose parents or guardians want them to get a COVID-19 vaccine. I mean, that's basically anyone, right? I mean, what is the scientific basis for these recommendations, I guess?
Well, I think part of that sort of analysis, one and through, is that we know that certain risk factors aren't readily evident. And part of being a pediatrician and also having those conversations with the parents is to understand where their parents are thinking and how they're sort of working with their provider, with themselves. And we wanted to ensure, because we know that long COVID exists, that we would sort of provide that option and opportunity. And it's something that we look to our national medical societies for certain affirmation of those guidelines, and our guidelines do follow that of the American Academy of Pediatrics.
When you say long COVID, talk about how the vaccines relate to long COVID, if you can.
Well, what we found through the evidence in the research is that the vaccines help mitigate the effects of long COVID. And as we all know and have seen throughout Illinois and across the country, that people do struggle at times and have struggled from long COVID. And knowing that that vaccine can help prevent and decrease some of those symptoms of long COVID is another reason why we're providing those opportunities and availability of this safe, effective vaccine for COVID-19.
It's the 21st show. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Samir Vohra, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, about changing public health guidance coming from the federal government, including on COVID-19 vaccines. And in a moment, we'll get to this recent announcement that acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol, is a health risk for pregnant women, and according to the government, is linked to autism. We'll dig into the evidence there. But on this subject of COVID, we got a text message from Tony in Champaign, who asks, to what extent does the state retain my vaccine history? Will I be advised to not get an unnecessary shot, or is that responsibility all mine?
I think, as we just mentioned, these are our recommendations for the fall 25-26 respiratory season. And for your listeners, we know that COVID-19 continues to change seasonally. We are dealing with different variants. And what each season brings is a updated COVID-19 vaccine based on the available information and the strains that are circulating at the time in which these sort of vaccines are made. What we do work through and through the clinics across the state is an immunization sort of database, our eye care system, where we can understand what shots people have received. But it's really to your listener's question, a conversation that they should have with their provider to maintain what their immunization status is. Our recommendations, they're provided for those 18 and over, but really to determine with their provider what vaccines are necessary to ensure a healthy respiratory season and a healthy state of affairs with the routine vaccines as well.
I also want to share a message we got from John in Springfield, who seems to have a negative view of the COVID vaccine. And I'll say, I've heard people who gladly took the first couple of shots, but when it became something that was every year, they started saying, you know, another one. I'm tired of getting these things. But let me relay what John said specifically. Quote, older COVID vaccines cause heart and health problems and reduce immunity to certain COVID viruses. He said, healthy 72-year-old friend's heart started fluttering after second COVID vaccination with vaccines, spike proteins multiplying and clogging his arteries, requiring four heart surgeries with continuing long COVID weaknesses. Dr. Vohra, can you address those claims?
So I know that there are these sort of concerns and also areas in which we've seen a lot of that mis and disinformation. What I can say is that COVID-19 vaccines have been studied thoroughly. And part of our discussions about this season's vaccines was really a place where our experts, our data continue to show that this is a safe, effective vaccine. Now, it's important for any individual to have conversations with their provider, but based on large studies, we know that side effects are very rare to the COVID-19 vaccine, and that allows us to have confidence in its safety and its effectiveness. But to all of this, we want to ensure that individuals have conversations with their physicians to ensure that they're being properly monitored, especially at certain ages where there is the possibility of other conditions that we would want to take into account. So COVID-19 vaccines, generally safe and effective, big studies and trials that show that side effects are very rare. All that to say, really important for people when they have those questions to ask their healthcare provider so that they have and can ask somebody that they've built a relationship around trust. We're ensuring here at the Illinois Department of Public Health that we're putting forward credible, transparent, science-based information to the public.
Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, there is a lot of attention and concern about these side effects from the vaccines, but I mean, there are side effects or primary effects to getting the virus itself still, right?
Of course, and part of every vaccine discussion, but really every discussion around the tr on all treatments is a balance between the benefits and the risks. We know that COVID-19 can still get you really sick, especially for those individuals that are 65 and older, have chronic medical conditions, or are immunocompromised. And ensuring that in this season, COVID-19, we know flu can similarly have those types of results and side effects for the virus itself, but sometimes the complications that come after the virus. And that's why for this respiratory season, similar to years in the past, COVID-19, flu, and then RSV, for those that are eligible, we recommend vaccines to ensure that you have a safe and healthy fall and winter respiratory season.
I want to talk about Tylenol, but we need to take a break here in a moment. So just briefly, about 30 seconds before we need to break, is there a particular time people should get their flu vaccines to sort of maximize the effectiveness and COVID vaccines for that matter?
What we really recommend that this October, early November is the best time to ensure that you have the ability to be protected throughout the length of the respiratory season. So these are the moments as we hit October 1st tomorrow to get ready and have a plan if you haven't already been vaccinated for flu or COVID-19 or RSV.
All right, we are going to take a break. We will continue talking with Dr. Samir Vohra, Director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, about changing health guidance from the federal government and how Illinois is going its own way on some of these topics. We will be talking about acetaminophen and pregnancy coming up after the break. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. This is The 21st Show. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with Dr. Samir Vohra, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, about changing health guidance from the federal government, including on COVID-19 vaccines and a recent announcement that acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol, is a health risk for pregnant women. And at least according to at least one or two studies, has some link to autism, although there is dispute about that. We're going to get into that. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Let's talk about that, Dr. Vohra. So the Trump administration says Tylenol use among pregnant women is linked to autism. What did you think of that?
I was very disappointed and felt that it was irresponsible for the federal government to make that kind of statement. And partly is that it's harmful and confusing when any statements by our federal government are not backed by the full body of scientific evidence and dangerously simplifies the many complex causes of something like autism spectrum, patients with autism spectrum disorder, something that, as a pediatrician myself, took care of children with autism, worked very much with their families to provide services. And an announcement like that, that doesn't take into account the research and the extensive research that have shown no significant associations between acetaminophen, Tylenol during pregnancy and autism or other intellectual conditions is something that is deeply disturbing.
So the Trump administration says women who are pregnant should not be taking acetaminophen or Tylenol during pregnancy. What do you think of that? And I guess if because it is pretty limited what someone is recommending, you're not supposed to take Advil. What are the risks of having a fever that's untreated during a pregnancy?
Yeah, and it is something. And through the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, we know that acetaminophen, Tylenol, is one of the few options available to pregnant women to treat pain and fever. And pain and fever can be harmful to pregnant women when left untreated. Maternal fever, headaches, pain can be managed by acetaminophen. And as you said, there aren't many options. Some of the other pain medications like ibuprofen pose risks and challenges to a pregnant mom that can cause serious risk. And that's something that we know patients should have conversations with their OBGYN if they're having continued prolonged pain. But the oversimplification of a challenge here is really concerning. And we trust at IDPH our medical experts, our OBGYNs, our societies, when they do recommend acetaminophen as one of those few options available to pregnant women to treat pain and fever.
And are there specific risks to, as the president said, toughing it out with fever during pregnancy?
Yeah, when you have issues like maternal fever during pregnancy, that can cause challenges to a newborn, things that can cause risks, such as areas in which you could be at risk for prematurity, other sort of birth challenges. And I think it's something really important here when those things arise to have that conversation with your provider. But saying tough it out is extremely not fair, not accurate, and doesn't take into account the need for appropriate help and support around maternal fever and pain that can arise during pregnancy.
I want to ask a big picture question to sort of wrap up this part of the conversation today. People are hearing one thing from you in the state of Illinois. Now they're hearing something different from the federal government. And it does lead to this like throwing of the hands up or distrust, cynicism. I wonder how you're thinking about that. And I mean, this has been an issue throughout the, ever since the COVID-19 pandemic's early months. How are you thinking about that and how to navigate that as a public health professional?
Yeah, no, it is a great question, both as a public health professional, as a pediatrician as well. It is challenging knowing that now we're in a moment of conflicting evidence. I know that as a pediatrician, I took my responsibility very seriously to be honest with my patients, to support what we knew as the scientific rigor in providing my recommendations, and that I was providing those recommendations with the full weight of scientific evidence, not going by outlier studies and information. And that's something that, in this role as the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, we've also wanted to uplift, to ensure that we as an agency are being credible, transparent. We are working with the leading experts in the state, other states, national medical societies, to ensure that the information and the recommendations that we provide to our residents are built on those scientific principles and practices. That is a responsibility that I personally and we at the department take very seriously and want to ensure to our residents that they can count on that as they make the decisions for themselves and their loved ones.